This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very happy Monday. This is Frida Liu. I'm here together with
Lily Chai.
It's Enterprise Biz Bites. It's August 8th and it's 8-8. So it should be a very good day.
Auspicious day.
Yeah. Today we're talking about ESG or Environment, Social and Governance and how this is important for MSMEs, not just SMEs, but micro, small, medium enterprises and how we can't afford to ignore this anymore. Before I continue, if you have any comments around our conversation, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So yes, ESG has always been seen as something only MNCs or public listed companies do, but is this true? The Department of Statistics Malaysia recorded nearly 1.2 million MSMEs, which accounts for 97.4% of the total establishments in Malaysia. This translates into a contribution of almost 40% of Malaysia's GDP, with SME exports recorded at more than 117 billion for 2020. So with that number in mind, can MSME still remain on the sidelines when it comes to ESG practices in today's global market? We have an expert joining us a little later and she'll be sharing her thoughts. So it's been a common misconception or perception that MNC or public listed companies have the sole responsibility to integrate environmental ESG best practices into their operation. When micro, small and medium-sized enterprises are called to embark on sustainability efforts, it's largely ignored. According to the Malaysian Statistical Business Register, which was published by the Department of Statistics Malaysia, as I mentioned, 1.2 million MSMEs in 2021. And again, according to the DOSM, SMEs contributed to almost 40% of the country's GDP. So, you know, this goes to show that SMEs contribute a significant amount to the country's economy and can make a difference once they adopt ESG practices.
Western countries have also started scrutinizing ESG compliance for companies that wish to do business with them. If MSMEs do not adapt now, they might lose out on future business opportunities. Fang Oiching, the head of Sustainability Advisory Services at KPMG Malaysia, she mentions that the pandemic has put corporations and governments' ESG risk management under close watch. She also mentions businesses are growing aware that ESG is no longer a choice if they want to remain competitive. There are, however, some misconceptions from MSME businesses, as some business owners do not consider ESG as a business imperative and view view these requirements as something expensive and burdensome. And another challenge to address is the lack of information, guidance, and capabilities within the MSME community on the way forward to implementing these practices. And this is being looked into by SME Corp, which has worked in tandem with the United Nations Global Impact to develop the MAJU framework, which stands for Mission, Activity, Justify, Upgrade. Right. And the framework was put together to enable SMEs to adopt ESG initiatives in a more accessible way.
Right. And I think it's very interesting with MAJU, right? I guess a lot of them don't even have a mission, so they're not too sure, right? Mm-hmm. Chin Chi Siong, who's the National Secretary General of the SME Association Malaysia, has highlighted that most MSMEs do not possess a comprehensive understanding of what ESG is. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. And their focus at the moment is to survive and build their business as the economy reopens and the world transitions into endemicity. ESG efforts are the main priority, and this misunderstood as ignorance. At the moment, ESG-related matters have not affected MSME's business continuity as opposed to larger companies affected if they don't implement ESG measures. There are ways companies can start on their ESG efforts. It can be approached from a defensive manner. That is when companies look at what needs to be done in order to be unaffected by market requirements and to comply with the latest standards. It can also be done via a proactive approach where companies with foresight see ESG standards and practices as an opportunity instead of a threat. So these businesses choose to look further ahead and want to future-proof themselves as they believe sustainability and ESG are here to stay.
You're right. So among the many challenges that MSMEs face over ESG, the biggest loss is the potential business opportunities. According to Standard Chartered Bank's 2021 Carbon Dated Report, almost 80% of MNCs will consider switching suppliers if the supplier's ESG goals are not complied with. And this is because MNCs are under pressure to report ESG data, which includes carbon footprint. And this must be included in the supplier's data, by the way. And there are MNCs taking a softer approach with supplier development programs to help their suppliers work on reducing carbon footprint. And Victor Lee, CEO of Group Commercial Banking at CIMB Group, mentions that the need for MSMEs to consider the risks they choose to ignore ESG practices. He also adds that MSMEs also are feeling the pressure to improve on their ESG initiatives to retain business with MNCs and corporates for the long run. And this is especially true for businesses that are planning to export products and compete on the global market. The European Union is formalizing a carbon border adjustment mechanism that will impose an import fee from businesses that is not in compliance with EU's carbon pricing policies. And this is slated to start in January 2023, which is 4 months, 4 or 5 months away. And Malaysian MSMEs that export to the EU will lose the advantage of lower operating costs due to the extra border fees that they are not, because they are not in compliance with the ESG practices. And as such, businesses can no longer be on the back foot. And it is important for them to invest now in ESG practices to ensure long-term viability.
Right. You know, and something earlier, I can't remember who said, you know how like they're not too sure where to start. I think a lot of them are not too sure, and they don't see the connection. I think about many years ago, you know, the likes of Apple, even clothing companies, right? When you find out, okay, the company's so great, and then they find out they're using child labor and getting their clothes from these sort of places, right? So all these things will have an impact. So regardless of your business, sooner or later, if you're part of the supply chain, these are important. I choose to do business with companies in my whole supply chain that are compliant. I know whether it's carbon, whether it's, you know, gender equality, whether it's no child labor, what have you. These are the things that need to be looked at already if you don't. You know?
Right. So, Frida, do you, when you buy things as an end consumer, right, do you take into consideration if that company or that brand does ESG practices?
Yeah. You know, so like the bigger companies, I would, if I know, I don't know if it's ignorance, but if I know that the company is not being fair to their suppliers and all that, I would quietly boycott. Like, I just wouldn't buy from them, right? I don't maybe not make a big hoo-ha about it. But if I know that somebody, a company that is actually doing something progressive and taking all this in consideration, that will be my first consideration. And if I'm given two choices, one company that is known to be, you know, following ASG practices and one that isn't, I will buy from the one that is. Right. So it's also like, even if you're doing that, I think you also need to showcase that you are doing it. Not greenwashing, but also know that this is what we stand for.
Right. Right.
What about yourself?
To me, I will look, like, when I buy things, they do say that, oh, we use sustainable upcycled materials for, you know, the things that we sell. But it is very obvious sometimes, like, how extensive they have gone to implement this kind of practices in their products, or, you know, whatever they claim to be. It's very obvious if they're trying to make an effort, or it's just like something, just a stamp, just to put it on and say that, yeah, we're doing this, we're sustainable. And there is a very big difference when they really do it. They will showcase like how they source their ingredients and where they get them from. Like, these are the things that I look for. Right. Not just like, I'm sustainable, then I'll buy. No.
Okay. Right. So there's, you know, somebody was commenting earlier, said, are you either going in a defensive mode or you go in a proactive mode, right? And, you know, because proactive mode would mean future business, right? Future business opportunities. And we'll get an expert opinion on this in just a moment. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers, BFM 89.9.
A good Monday afternoon. Frida Liu here together with
Lily Chai.
It's Enterprise BizBytes. We're talking about ESG, environmental, social and governance, and how this applies to MSMEs. And a lot of them are still, you know, ignoring or not knowing what to do. And things have got to change. And so we've got an expert talking about this. But, you know, if you have any thoughts around this conversation on how MSMEs can get on the train, right? Do let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or over Twitter at BFM Radio. So there's still a lack of clarity and awareness about the link between health, safety and environment, or HSE regulations and ESG requirements. Many MSMEs are still compartmentalizing ESG and HSE compliance into separate issues. An example pointed out is that waste regulations are focused on measuring the waste within the MSMEs compound and disposal requirements. However, waste generation disposal is also connected to greenhouse gas emissions. So the connection between these compliance from the ESG and HSE context is not clearly drawn up. Many MSMEs also conduct energy efficiency programs with the aim of reducing costs, which also affects the organization's carbon footprint through energy usage. So more often than not, businesses might not even realize they're already practicing some forms of sustainability measures, such as saving energy or even reusing water. So what needs to happen is to create an awareness that these companies are already being sustainable and to understand ESG a little more.
There is a lot more that can be done to make ESG a priority among MSMEs. Incentives, for example, in the form of grants or tax reductions can be given to MSMEs who practice ESG. And businesses can also start by, you know, being aware of their carbon footprint so they have a point where they can measure their ESG impact. And this can allow them to identify opportunities and areas that they can improve upon. So Capitals Markets Malaysia, along with the Ministry of Environment and Water, started capacity building initiatives early this year, specifically targeted at MSMEs. Banks and regulators also step in with support programs, incentives, grants, and financial support, which will spur businesses to make effort. And the government should also get involved and enforce the adoption of ESG initiatives among businesses, as there are no requirements for them to do so at the moment.
So there's a fine line, right? Whether it's the carrot or the stick. I know last year, Kazana had a competition, and their theme last year, I think there's several themes. Kazana had one about taking care of the elderly, if they have solutions, tech solutions for the elderly. And then there was one also about a water, you know, making sure that, you know, we're not polluting and ways to do this, right? Margie Ong, the CEO of Thoughts and Gear, also shares the same sentiment, and she further adds that MSMEs are very agile. Their main focus is on profitability and survival at the moment. She also said it doesn't matter how they come to the table to discuss ESG and sustainability. The point is they're coming to the table and will you know, get to see how ESG can actually work for their company. And so we've got Margie on the line to give us a little bit more insight into this. You know, Margie, what do you say to MSMEs who say, it doesn't affect my business? What are they not fully aware of?
For any MSME who thinks that ESG might not affect their company, they probably don't know the speed at which governments all around the world and large companies, their own customers, mind you, are actually adopting ESG. Noted ESG will affect different companies in different industries in varying degrees and timelines, but it would really be good for companies of all sizes to keep themselves up to date with the regulatory and customer requirements within the geographies, especially that they operate.
Okay, so Margie, are there some businesses that can afford to ignore ESG?
Well, the question, are there businesses that can afford to ignore ESG altogether? My straight answer to that would be no. It is affecting every company in every industry at varying degrees, as mentioned. But do consider, when we're talking about the cost of adopting ESG, to also consider the cost of not adopting ESG and the risks that are involved, especially in five key areas. Existential risk to some industries as a whole. Physical risk in terms of location, etc. Transition risk for yourself and many other companies that are transitioning towards ESG. What's that risk directly to you? regulatory risk, that's quite straightforward, and of course, reputational risk.
All right. You know, Margie, I read about you in the article on The Edge, right? And in that article, you said there are two ways companies can get on board. One is the defensive method, where they do what is necessary. Another is a proactive method, where they see this is an opportunity instead of a threat. Can you share an example of how this can be an untapped opportunity?
When companies are thinking about adopting ESG, there are three key levers that they can use to help them think through what they want to do and when they want to do it. The first being reducing risk, so very much in terms of ensuring there's a good risk assessment from an ESG perspective. The second one being really about maximizing profits, truly. It's the win-win situations, the mainly around efficiencies, so energy efficiency, water, resource efficiency, waste management, etc., that could potentially also positively impact the bottom line. And finally, the third lever, which is the most exciting and strategic for the business, is unlocking growth, using sustainability and ESG lens to really review the business from a perspective of ensuring that you are aligned and relevant. So what are some of the examples of these untapped opportunities? So they could include greener alternatives in raw material, for example, in digitization, in terms of hardware and software solutions. They could be technology solutions in general, or they could be specifically for the ESG industry. Use of waste, for example, turning agricultural waste into paper. In services, potentially providing an ESG lens to areas like law, healthcare, consulting, etc. Many, many opportunities that have suddenly been uncovered with this adoption of ESG.
Margie, MSMEs also think that this is an expensive exercise. Is this a myth or is this a truth, the truth?
Interesting question. It truly depends on how intrinsically and how aggressively a company is seeking to adopt sustainability and ESG, and how strategic they see this lens to the future of their business. And there are, of course, two elements, being a cost element and an investment element as well. And I'm not here to tell you that it's not a trade-off with other initiatives that could be equally important in the organization. There are varying degrees in terms of adoption. If you're seeking merely to keep up with the market in terms of disclosures and reporting and ensuring compliance, then it is mainly a matter of investing resources and ensuring the upskilling of the knowledge that's necessary to get that done. However, if you're seeing it as a strategic growth lever for the future, then that might incur some longer-term capital investments as well.
You know, Margie, I'm intrigued. Where should they start in the process and who in the organization should be involved?
For companies that are looking to start their sustainability journey, or even those who have been at it for a number of years, here at TIG, we advocate a four-phase, eight-step simple methodology that consists of know, plan, do, and tell. In the know phase, the two steps are step one, ensuring a good level of understanding and awareness of sustainability and ESG. Step two, setting up your governance structure and running a baseline exercise to ensure you know what's going on within the company that actually contributes towards sustainability and ESG. In the plan phase, step three is about running the assessments. So materiality assessment, stakeholder assessment, to ensure you know the priorities that are posed not just internally to your company, but also externally from your stakeholders as well. This will then feed into step four, which would be strategy, and your strategic outlook for the company is not very different from charting a company strategy, where it is very well supported by a framework, a roadmap, and of course, an action plan. In the do phase, step five would be ensuring a very good tracking mechanism, ensuring that you know what data you're measuring, when and how it will be reported on a consistent manner to ensure progress. And this, of course, is supported by step six, which is implementation, the actual running of the initiatives that you have identified in your strategic plan and ensuring progress and measuring closely to it. In the tell phase, the phase that we get the most questions on, step seven is about reporting. And in reporting, do not be intimidated by the alphabet soup of ESG frameworks and rating agencies out there, but ensure you're selecting a good set that will help guide you in terms of how and what to report. And part of the reason we highly, highly encourage you to have a look at the global frameworks is because you want to ensure that whatever effort you're putting in is being recognized and understood by as many people out there as possible. And of course, step 8 is about storytelling. This is where you tie all of these efforts together in ensuring that it tells a purpose-based, passion-filled story about your company that truly communicates why and what you are here to do in the effort towards a better planet.
Okay, so Margie, if MSMEs who want to, you know, talk more about ESG practices, how can they get hold of you?
I'm Margie Ong from Thoughts in Gear, and I can be reached at margie.ong@thoughtsingear.com.
Margie Ong, CEO of Thoughts in Gear, thanks for being with us and sharing your thoughts. And yes, you know, MSMEs need to get on board this journey because, you know, you're going to be part of the food chain.
But she mentioned about cost as well. And it kind of triggered me as well when businesses, when they say that, oh, ESG is actually very expensive to implement in their business because, you know, if they want to get suppliers that are more sustainable, that means that there must be increased costs as well, right? No?
I'm just looking at you. I don't know. I think she was saying that it was a trade-off, right? And this is the, you know, if you're looking at it a very short term, right, then fine. But if you're looking at being in the business for the long term, these are going to be the requirements. These are going to be the expectations. Supply, you know, if you are going to be supplying, whether locally or overseas, these are the considerations. So when we talk to a lot of businesses that export overseas, right, they're already on that level. They're already at that kind of practice. So then everything else become easy. So, I mean, when you start thinking, I'm going to be a global player for the long term, then the way you operate is going to be different. And maybe, you know, with her process or whatever, to start, you know, bit by bit, maybe not do everything right now. What is most pertinent for my business right now? That is the first focus. And then, you know, slowly make those changes. Right. So, yes, that was Margie Ong from Thoughts in Gear. And we've come to today's episode of Enterprise Biz Bites. After news that won the Breakfast Grill replay, this is the company, it's listed on the Singapore Exchange, Sim Leisure Group. They design and build theme parks all over the world. The group currently owns Escape Theme Parks and recently acquired a loss-making Kidzania KL from Kanzana and Bausted. Our founder executive chairman, Sim Chu King, shares with us how the leisure industry is doing now, have the crowds returned to theme parks, and the business of designing fun. So after news at 1, and of course this is Free Lu together with Lily Chai. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.